speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this May the 7th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we have a lot of issues to talk about. A lot of things have taken a back seat to the recent escalation against the attack against our free speech. We're going to get to some of those things today. As a matter of fact, we're going to start out with them. But I have one more thing. I know you've heard some of this before. Yesterday I was talking about how amazing it was to me that the media director for Campus Reform, a group that has fought so hard to fight for fair free speech ideas on political campus, is coming out and saying, well, you know, these guys, Facebook, it's a private company. They can do whatever they want. It doesn't matter that they own the public square, that they own the internet, that they are the masters of the universe. It doesn't matter how they got that position. Maybe he ought to dig a little bit deeper there. But of course, if he actually investigated, he might be accused of becoming a conspiracy theorist, because, folks, there is a massive conspiracy here. These people are simply a glove for the iron fist of censorship that is coming from the national security state. But let's just go back to the university issue here. Here's a story I've had on my list to talk about for quite some time, actually going back to March. A professor spoke the truth, and he still pays the price. And this is from National Review. Last October, they said, Sarah Lawrence College professor Samuel Adams wrote an important, insightful essay in the New York Times. He said, while critics of higher education have been focused on the bias of faculty members, what his research revealed was that college administrators are more uniformly progressive than even college faculties. Liberal staff members, he wrote, outnumber their conservative counterparts by the astonishing ratio of 12 to 1, making them the most left-leaning group on campus. And he said, after more than 20 years of litigation experience, he says, what you see here is ideological imbalance coupled with administrators' agenda-setting power. It threatens the free and open exchange of ideas. That's where it begins. It begins in our schools. That's where all these different agendas begin. It is by design. They have known that if they can get a child at an early age, if they can get them away from their parents, they can indoctrinate them, they can inculcate them with foreign ideas to the culture. They can make them anything that they want. They can make them a child of the state. And that's precisely what has been done. And now we're seeing the working out of this. We're seeing how this is working out in government. We're seeing how it is working out in social media. For example, he talks about how these administrators, you know, like the people who administer social media, same people that are administrating these schools. And if the Campus Reform media director wants to play the card of, well, it's just private. Well, these are private universities in most cases, where the administrators are drafting speech codes. Yeah, speech codes like they got on social media. Where they have campus kangaroo courts, where they kick Christian student groups off of campus. We're seeing that happening now to Chick-fil-A. Just a minor connection to Christian groups there, Chick-fil-A. Everybody knows that they're Christian because they don't stay open on Sunday. They gave money to the Salvation Army, like many of us do. Drop the money in the kettle during Christmas. Well, don't let them see that. If you got a small business, maybe they'll punish you too, because that's the way this Stasi snitch society is turning. And then today, just one more thing. We'll talk about this at the top of the hour here. U.S. lawmakers are criticizing potential Facebook settlement with the Federal Trade Commission. In a letter to the Federal Trade Commission, Senators Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat, and Josh Hawley, a Republican, told the agency that even a $5 billion civil penalty is a bargain for Facebook. I'll tell you why they say that, and I'll tell you why it's amazing to me that they take issue with one part of your liberty being violated and not with another. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Tuesday, May the 7th, year of our Lord, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we have an interesting paradox here, I think. And I've been told by many people who are never Trumpers, some who are at think tanks with the conservative or libertarian groups, saying Facebook can do whatever they wish. They can make the rules. They can do whatever they want. They're private. Shut up. Don't talk about it. I just said at the top of the hour. Now, you look at what's happening on campus, the price that a professor paid for pointing out that the staff members, the administration of the colleges, are far worse than even the faculty in terms of their liberal bias. They're the ones responsible for the ideological imbalance, the agenda setting, and so forth. Threatening the free and open exchange of ideas. That's right. That's exactly what the First Amendment free speech is about. But that doesn't happen, so you wind up with speech codes. Not only on the university campus, many of which are private universities, but also on social media. And then you have Christian groups getting kicked off of campus, just like they're kicking Chick-fil-A or anybody they perceive to be remotely Christian out of the business marketplace. This is not to be compartmentalized. This is not a free market situation that they have set up here. And just to give you an example, we've had the FTC talking about this for the last week or two. A $5 billion civil penalty for Facebook. Why? Why? Because they turned over private users' information to be used by third-party groups to sell them stuff. Now, frankly, this is where I don't have a problem with them doing that. I don't understand what the concern is here. I know that the left got very upset when they realized that data was mined during the 2016 election by Cambridge Analytica to help identify potential Trump voters and to market to them. That and the fact that supposedly some Russian groups ran a handful of ads on Facebook. That supposedly changed the election when Facebook and Google were rigging information that you could see, purging some information, pushing their agenda on you. What an absurd premise. And as we pointed out, what Cambridge Analytica did was done by the Obama administration. You even had an election official who bragged about doing that to get Obama reelected. And she was celebrated. Oh, look at how clever she is. She was able to go through and use Facebook to mine and identify their voters and directly market to them. And yet, when it's done by the conservatives to a smaller scale, they freak out about that. But as they're saying, this is a letter that was written to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, by two senators, one a Democrat, one a Republican. The Democrat is Blumenthal, the Republican is Josh Hawley. And they said, $5 billion civil penalty isn't enough for Facebook. Now, look, I would love to see Facebook put out of business, quite frankly. I think we need to, you know, they're not serving the public well. They're manipulating the public. They're a tool of manipulation. They were created to do that. It is a public-private partnership to manipulate public opinion. It began with DARPA. It began with the same people that have been manipulating public opinion, lying to us about President Trump and Russiagate, the intelligence community. These people are the ones who put it in there. But you know, why should they be concerned about this if these people in the Republican and Libertarian think tanks tell us, hey, it's their platform, they can do whatever they want? Why should the liberals be concerned about this? Because, hey, it's their platform, they can do whatever they want. They can ban InfoWars, they can ban Alex Jones, they can punish people who say anything positive about us, they can reward people who are explicitly condemning us. That's fine. Okay, that kind of bias is absolutely fine. And you can manipulate the election, and they have no problem with that. They're not talking about the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission. They're talking about the Federal Trade Commission. giving them this. But I have to ask these people, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, all you people who say they can do whatever they want. They're big. Well, why can't they share your private data? You have a problem with that? In the letter, they said the FTC should go further. They said in the letter from Blumenthal and Hawley, they said it should consider setting rules of the road on what Facebook can do with consumers' private information, such as requiring the deletion of tracking data, restricting the collection of certain types of information, curbing advertising practices, imposing a firewall on sharing private data between different products, they said. Well, I agree with that. I like to have privacy. Now, the federal government doesn't think that I should have any privacy. And we'll get to that in a moment. It's another federal judge, after more than a decade of fighting about warrantless surveillance on all Americans, not a phony FISA warrant to come after President Trump. No, this is warrantless. They didn't even bother to try to get a phony warrant. And they're doing it to every one of us, but they don't care. Federal judge says, that's okay, you can do that. Because if you stop that, that'll get in the way of our national security agenda. But let's go back to this. They said, well, we got to delete the tracking data. We got to restrict the collection of certain types of information. We have to impose a firewall on sharing private data and so forth. Well, I got three problems with that. Number one, these senators, again, are abdicating their responsibility. They're offloading the setting of rules to the FTC. You understand, they've created these bureaucracies. We have these administrative bureaucracies that write our laws. Now, they don't call them laws. They call them rules, which is even worse. Because if it was a law that was put into effect by your elected representative, they would have to, under their rules, they would have to play by the rules. They would have to play by the rules of the Constitution. They'd have to give you due process. They'd have to give you the presumption of innocence. They'd have to give you a trial before they take your stuff. But if it's a bureaucracy, and if the bureaucracy writes a rule, even though it's treated with the same effect as law, even though they can come in and confiscate your stuff, they can do it without even charging you with a crime. That's what civil asset forfeiture has been. And they're doing that across the board. They're confiscating people's children without ever accusing them of a crime or giving them due process. So why should we limit anything that these people do, right? And how does that happen? Well, we have legislation without representation, if you will, because that's what happens when these agencies write the rules. And so you got two senators, a Democrat and Republican. This is because, you know, hey, they all agree. You write the rules for us, and we would like for you to write the rules. No, that's your job, Senator Hawley. That's your job, Senator Blumenthal. You should be writing the laws, not begging a bureaucracy to write the rules. That's my first problem. My second problem is, why is privacy a civil rights issue, but my free speech is not? My free speech is a rights issue. And I consider that to be a more important issue even than my privacy. Because if I have free speech, I may be able to get my privacy back. But if they shut that down, if they gag me, if they hide things from me, say, you can't see that, you can't hear that, you can't say that, I've got more at stake here than my privacy. There is no right to privacy in spite of what the Supreme Court says. It's implied. You know, and the idea that you have a search warrant, that you have privacy in your papers and so forth. But they don't respect that in any aspect of our lives. We don't have any privacy when we go to the TSA, right? We don't have any privacy when they look at us. And I'll say this one last thing. Speech control. That's my third problem I have with this. Speech control is election control. It is election tampering. You know, selling data to other companies so they can sell you on buying a product is one thing. But manipulating data so that you can't see, truth in advertising about a different political party, that is election tampering. And they should be talking to the FEC about Facebook. We'll be right back. know, we have Republicans and Democrats upset because Facebook is not being punished enough. The $5 billion, I know it's chicken feed to Zuckerberg. Worried that they're not penalized enough because their database was mined for the election or violating other people's privacy. Now, of course, the Obama administration mined that information, and it was celebrated by everybody. They not only noticed it, but they bragged about it. They said, oh, look at how clever they are. But, you know, when it's done by Trump, then it has to be shut down. And, of course, your privacy is absolutely paramount. Your speech, however, they don't care about. Totally AWOL. And they don't care about meddling in the election. And they're going to let the FTC write the rules because they're senators and they can't be bothered to write laws. So they're whining, you know, writing. This is how we are governed now, folks. We elect people to the Senate and to the Congress who then write letters to the permanently entrenched, unelected, unaccountable government, the bureaucracy, begging them to do this or to do that. That's the way Washington works now. We have Washington is run by the bureaucracies that you don't ever vote for, you can never remove. It's run by the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the Department of Justice that you don't elect and you can never remove. And it's run by the judges, the federal judges that you don't elect and you can never remove. The rest of these people, from Trump to the senators to the congressmen, are just window dressing. They're just window dressing. Let's understand that. Let's take a look at what the federal government is really concerned about. You think they're concerned about your privacy, as they say? Oh, well, we can't have that. Let's have the FTC write some really rough rules about privacy. Well, let's look at how concerned they are about your privacy. As DC Clotheslines points out, a federal judge has now sided with the government and rules that mass surveillance can remain secret. Despite a wealth of public information detailing the U.S. government's secret, warrantless, they didn't even bother to go to the FISA court and get a fake warrant. They didn't bother to lie about it, working with foreign governments. They didn't bother to start with something that was written by Hillary Clinton and shop it around and, you know, work with the British, work with John McCain, shop this around, leak it to the press, use the press reports, go to a FISA court. Nah, they didn't bother to any of that. They don't even get a warrant. And they spy on all of us all of the time. Not just President Trump with a fake FISA warrant. This is far worse. So despite a wealth of public information, writes DC Clothesline, detailing the U.S. government's secret, warrantless mass surveillance programs, a federal judge has blocked a lawsuit claiming that revealing any details would threaten national security. National security, the altar at which we all worship, right? The altar on which we lay every single one of our God-given rights and watch them flayed on that altar of national security. Never mind the fact that Hillary Clinton violated national security in both quantity and quality in a way that we have never seen anybody do before. ClintonEmails.com. Come and get them right here, right here. It's a great way to hand off information. The old-fashioned way, you'd go to a park bench, stick the microfiche in a newspaper, pretend you're reading it. Somebody sits down next to you, set that down. They set their newspaper down. They pick up your newspaper and go, wait, here. They can just go to ClintonEmails.com. And you can have the Chinese government, since it's unsecured, they can put some software on there to send them a receipt of everything that Hillary Clinton sent and received. And yet there is no penalty for Hillary Clinton. There's multiple standards of justice here, aren't there? Some people have rights. Some people have privileges. You and I don't have any rights or privileges. A federal judge has ruled that the federal government can assert state secrets privilege to keep details of the warrantless mass surveillance programs secret. This is a legal battle that's lasted more than a decade. The plaintiffs have been represented by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF, since 2008. Several years, as a matter of fact. before whistleblower Ed Snowden leaked classified files revealing the NSA's massive spying apparatus. As a matter of fact, it was several years before you had James Clapper commit perjury. That was done in 2013. And remember, Michael Hayden was so upset about that. He said, everybody knew that. Everybody knew that we were spying on Americans without getting a search warrant. That's right, we all did. You had William Binney, we had Thomas Drake, we had Kirk Wearby. Many NSA whistleblowers had blown the whistle to Congress. Congress didn't care. That's why Ed Snowden did it the way that he did. Because they actually came after those whistleblowers. They not only ignored them, but they came after them. And they said, you know, we have a legal way that we can do this without violating everybody's right. But that's not the point. This is not about protecting the country from terrorists. This is about controlling the American public. And so Michael Hayden said, I blame Ron Wyden for asking that question. He knew that we were collecting all that information. He knew, and all the staffers knew, every one of those senators and all those senator staffers, they all knew. Well, yeah, everybody did. As a matter of fact, 5 years before that, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF, had been suing them because they knew it too. As a matter of fact, we knew this back in the 1960s. That's why we had the Frank Church and the Pike committee hearings. We had the Church committee hearings in the Senate. We had the Pike hearings in the House. And that's why we had the FISA bill, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And they created the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. That's why we had that, because these SOBs were spying on the American public illegally going back to the 1960s. That's why that all happened in the 1970s. As a matter of fact, let's go back and review where we are right now, the bipartisan deception that we see here. Let's go back and take a look at that clip Julian put together about the back and forth between Hayden, Clapper committing perjury. You know, he just passed his statute of limitations, so they're not going to come after him for lying to Congress. They seem to be concerned about people who are lying to Congress. They want to send people to jail for life for lying to Congress. They can't even bring themselves to bring charges against James Clapper because all of your elected representatives are complicit in this. Both parties are complicit in this. Just take a look at this. We got Mike Pompeo just a couple of weeks ago saying, yeah, we lie, we cheat, we steal. Run that clip, Julian.
When I was a cadet, what's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was a CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. It was like, we had entire training courses.
NSA doesn't just listen to bad people. NSA listens to interesting people.
Does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
Yeah, they do. They do. We know that, and now we got a federal judge saying, yeah, we're going to let them do that because, you know, national security. Stay with us. You won't believe how they're covering up for pedophiles.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I just told you in the last segment, we've had a federal judge, Judge White, who has now agreed with the Department of quote-unquote justice. You can put that in air quotes. Saying that revealing any details about whether the government collected internet and phone data would threaten national security. So we're going to shut that down. Of course, this is a challenge, legal challenge, that's been fought by the EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation. Since 2008, as I pointed out, we've had NSA whistleblowers tell us since 2001. I found it interesting that in this, they said the judge refused to consider the letter the government accidentally disclosed to the New York Times in 2015. Now, they accidentally disclosed this to the New York Times. They identified AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint as companies that gave the NSA access to customers' phone records. He said because the government inadvertently disclosed a document, then he said he can't rely on it. Can't rely on it. Now, let me tell you something. When we look at what's going on, Twitter, Facebook, Google, it's not a conspiracy theory to say that these people are giving information to the government, like AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, phone companies. As a matter of fact, you would have to be some kind of a credulous idiot to not even suspect that. And we got a lot of credulous idiots who are mostly talking heads. They've been chosen for that purpose as well. It's very deliberate. You have certain people who will push the government narrative. They're rewarded with multi-million dollar salaries on Fox and CNN and various MSNBC and others. They get the positions of the Washington Post, New York Times, and of course the people who run those organizations. They meet with these government officials in secret at Bilderberg, other places like that. It's just a conspiracy theory, right? But I've pointed out many times here on this program, there's ample evidence to show that these organizations, these internet companies that are now censoring our free speech, taking away our fundamental human rights, our property, every bit as much as our property as our home, our car, our bank account. Are we going to be serfs and slaves to this public-private partnership of corrupt crony capitalism? It truly is fascism. It truly is a merger of corporations with government to rip you off, to enslave you. And if they can take your fundamental rights like free speech, they've already enslaved you. It's already here, folks. We're just waiting for the full implications of this to roll out once they take control of cities the way that they have taken control of the internet. And there's a UN agenda for that. But, you know, when we look at this, Judge White also dismissed evidence that was put in by Mark Klein, a former AT&T technician, who found evidence of AT&T partnering with the NSA. He first made headlines in 2003. This has been around for a long time. When he discovered a secure room at AT&T facility in San Francisco that was used, likely, for monitoring phone and internet traffic of AT&T customers. Now, they don't mention in this court hearing the fact that the NSA whistleblowers, like William Binney, told us that's exactly what they were doing. And we've had revelations about these different AT&T facilities. It's an open secret. There's the one in New York City that was talked about a year or two ago. Brutalist architecture, you know, raw architecture, looks like something out of Stalin's Soviet Union. And it's right there smack dab in the middle of New York City. But there's other sites as well. As a matter of fact, I was interested to see the beginning of a book called Raven Rock, the story of the U.S. government's secret plan to save itself while the rest of us die. Yeah, that's what that book is about. It's about the Cold War. How did we get national security? How did everything get classified? And who were they protecting? Were they protecting us or themselves? And he begins that book by talking about a secret AT&T facility that, again, was an open secret to those of us who lived right next to it in Chatham County, North Carolina. He talks about that one. They called it Big Hole. It's somewhere between an open secret and an urban legend what goes on there, what went on there. It was one of these sites that was supposed to be part of our super secure network, hardened for the Cold War, giant underground facility there at AT&T. And, of course, all the local government officials who become mayor and so forth, most of them have some tie, interestingly enough, to that AT&T facility. They used to work there, one capacity or the other. You drive down that road, they'll still, at least when we were living in North Carolina 5-6 years ago, they would still turn on the lights and the loudspeakers, go back, you're in a secure area. It's like, well, I've been told by the press reports that nobody works here anymore. And it's an open secret. It's an open secret. And this guy discovered that, but they rule that out, and they don't even talk about the fact that the NSA is there. But do they care about your security? Do they care about your safety? No, this is about protecting themselves while the rest of us die, while our liberties die, while our society and our rule of law dies. They protect themselves. Let me give you an example here from April, end of April. Reason magazine, the feds are dropping child porn cases instead of revealing how they got the information from their surveillance systems. Oh, isn't that nice? They care so much about their secret surveillance systems and their non-disclosure agreements with the corporations. That matters more than protecting your children from sexual predators. Protecting themselves while the rest of us die. Protecting themselves while our children are being abused. That's your government. That's what they call national security. We've seen this before. For years, Harris Semiconductor has been selling this device, a Stingray device. They're all over the place. You would have situations where if they were challenged about how they got the evidence, you know, a lot of times they'll grab that evidence illegally with a warrantless search. If they see evidence of a trial, then they will create parallel construction to try to make it look like, oh, look, I just stumbled on this. Oh, look, I just found that right there. But in some cases, they weren't careful enough about that. And we had some open conflicts with some honest judges who asked, how did you get this information? It was about a burglary. And they said, well, we can't say, Judge. That's what the law enforcement officer said. He said, what? You can't tell me? Yeah, you can't tell that, you know, these defense lawyers are challenging the source of your information. You can't say, won't say where you got that. No, Judge, we have a non-disclosure agreement. And the judge said, you don't have a non-disclosure agreement with me. You either tell me how you got this information or I'm throwing the case out. And said, throw the case out. And they're doing that with child pornography cases, with pedophiles. As Reason Magazine points out now, they said the Department of Justice has been dismissing child pornography cases in order to not reveal information about the software programs that are used for the basis of the charge. Interestingly enough, guess what the software program is called? CPS. Child Protection Systems. Yeah, we've seen the abuses of CPS. As a matter of fact, coming up in the program later, we're going to be talking about elder abuse. We have a lawyer who has seen a man who was a lawyer. He drew up everything in great detail to protect himself. But he was medically kidnapped in an emergency situation that took him to a psychological ward, they allege. They gave him drugs. Had him sign an agreement, sign over everything to them. And they basically set up a team of lawyers that looted him every way. Isolate, medicate, liquidate. Yeah, the medical kidnapping of people is not just for children. This is a up-and-coming thing for elders as well, as we come to the baby boomers. But going back to this story here, they are looking at this. They said more than a dozen cases since 2011 were dismissed either because of challenges to the software's finding. They said, we want to know how this came. Well, they said, if you want to ask us about that, we'll just have to let this court case go. They said, now real pedophiles have caught on to that. They use that as a challenge, and they'll let the real pedophiles go rather than expose their source. Welcome back. As I said earlier, these senators who won't write laws to protect our rights of free speech are begging a bureaucracy, the Federal Trade Commission, to write rules to control Facebook because they said privacy is being affected. And we got to have firewalls to protect people's privacy. We need to have firewalls to keep them from affecting our elections, to keep them from affecting our speech. And these senators are AWOL. They don't write laws anymore. That's an outdated idea. A lot of people thought Nancy Pelosi, they laughed when Nancy Pelosi said, we've got to pass Obamacare to find out what's in it. No, that's exactly what they do. They create an agency like Elizabeth Warren's Consumer Financial Protection Board. They populate, create a new bureaucracy. And then they sit back and wait for them to write the rules for themselves. Now, this began with the IRS. Oh, we'll create the IRS and they'll write the rules. They give them broad general guidelines. But basically they have autonomy to do whatever they wish, these unelected bureaucrats. And that is a pattern that has been established. And Nancy Pelosi was, it was a rare moment of clarity and candor from Nancy Pelosi and from the political establishment to tell you, we're going to pass this broad legislation, turn it over to the bureaucracy and see what happens. Find out what they do with it. They're going to write the rules. We'll have to wait and see what happens. I don't know what's in it. They're going to put the stuff in there. And so now we've got Microsoft talking about how they are going to protect the elections. Microsoft's CEO, I've never heard of this guy. I don't know. Ballner's gone. Gates is gone. They were bad enough. Now we got somebody named Satya Nadella. And they are going to be working with the electronic voting machines to safeguard our elections. Don't you feel better about this? It's a secure voting system prototype under contract, reports AP News, under contract with DARPA. DARPA. These are the people who put forward the idea of the internet in the first place. J.C.R. Licklider, a psychologist. He called it the Intergalactic Computer Network. We shortened it to Internet. Once it became practical, they started funding by venture capital firms. They put their people on the boards of venture capital firms. The CIA even openly created its own venture capital firm, InQtel, to make sure that the right people were put in charge of the Internet as it got to a practical level. Because it's always been a tool of control. That was the vision from the beginning, and it came from DARPA. The people who were going out there and shutting down account after account saying, oh, you're a bot, you're a Russian bot. I've had people accuse me of being a Russian bot. Anybody that says something that they disagree with, that's their first line. You're either a racist, you're hate speech, you're a conspiracy theorist, or you're a bot. And so now we can ban your account. And it was DARPA that set up the first competition to identify bots on social media. And now DARPA is setting up a secure voting system. Don't you feel secure about that? Don't you feel good about that? Don't you feel good that the Department of Defense Advanced Research Project, these people who weaponize stuff, these people who are into mind control, who have been working on ways to control people mentally, and to control the thoughts of crowds, to manipulate public opinion, who've been working on activity-based intelligence, human domain analytics, and ways to identify pre-crime, minority report types. Aren't you happy that these people at DARPA is working with Microsoft, and they're going to have a secure election? Yeah, these are the same people who say, on the one hand, oh, we got to protect your privacy. Not going to protect your free speech, protect your privacy. Except when it comes to them violating your privacy, in which case any details about what they are doing are going to be shut down, as I just said. And it's more Orwellian doublespeak from Microsoft. This new system is going to be called Election Guard. Now, remember, it was just a couple of months ago, maybe last year, was it last year? They came out with NewsGuard, Election Guard. No, it's not Election Guard. It's election fraud. It's election theft. Yeah, it's the same kind of, it's the way that they name everything. Patriot Act. You think that was patriotic to destroy the Bill of Rights in the name of national security? Of course it wasn't. They come up with these acronyms. They come up with these names, and they're exactly the opposite. You know, kind of like smart cities. Smart cities for dumb effers who don't know what's going on. Or smart cars. You know, you get a, they've now officially declared the smart car is dead. They're not even going to try to sell it anymore. They quit trying to sell the smart car a few years ago, except in electric vehicle form, because, you know, hey, EVs are smart. And now they've given up on that altogether. And I'm sure that they called it a smart car because when they rolled it out, I'm sure that the first comment of the people who saw it was the same as mine. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, it's a smart car. They've inoculated themselves against it. So when you look at this and you say, this is Microsoft and DARPA working together to rig our elections, they said, we'll call it Election Guard. And they'll never catch on. They'll never catch on. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And at the same time, we got Facebook bragging about, and this is The Guardian. The Guardian has become such statist shills. They got threatened with being shut down because they put out the Snowden documents, and now they are towing the line. The biggest sycophants to the deep state and the surveillance state you've ever seen in your life. The Guardian. Inside Facebook's war room. The battle to protect EU elections. Listen to this Orwellian doublespeak. Less than 3 years ago, writes The Guardian, Facebook's chief executive, Mark Zuckerberg, dismissed as crazy the idea that fake news on his platform could influence the election of Donald Trump as U.S. president. But today, the company admits it's under siege from billions of fake accounts trying to game its system to win the election. And defeating them has become a matter of corporate survival. Now, that's what they were intended for from the very beginning, and now they're taking off the mask. They said until the 23rd of May poll, which is going to be the European election, for several days after, about 40 people at Facebook will be hunched over screens around the clock, monitoring the shifting pace of online conversation and stepping in and shutting it down whenever needed. Facebook is still struggling to root out people in networks that it calls bad actors. Well, of course, if they're bad actors, if Facebook says you're a bad actor, you are a bad actor, right? Journalists and activists in the last month alone have uncovered far-right networks in Spain that reached nearly 1.7 million people. You got to shut that down. These people are conservative. We don't like their content. They're bad actors. We don't like their political opinion. They're biased. Yeah, that was one of the things that was the basis on which this phony Poynter Institute was going to censor people. Oh, well, they're biased. You know, Drudge Report, that's biased. We got to shut it down. And so they look at this. Oh, we found conservative people in Spain. We got to shut that down. And we got a crew that's going to do that. Well, they've done it to InfoWars. Why can't they rig the election coming up the end of this month? And they will rig the 2020 election as well. We'll see what happens with that. We're going to talk about what's going on with parents coming up in the next hour. Real quickly, I want to tell you about some of the specials at InfoWarsStore.com because, folks, you are our sponsor. They try to blacklist us economically, and they have banned us off of Facebook. They finally figured out that I work for InfoWars. Took them a day or so because my stuff isn't really featured on our website. You can find me at Libertarian. That's where you can find my stuff on Twitter. Also got a YouTube channel, Libertarian. I am there, if you know where to look for me, at InfoWars. InfoWars.com/David-Knight-Show. You can find archives of the show there as well. But take a look on Twitter and on YouTube, Libertarian. But if you want to support us financially, folks, what funds this program and everything that we do are the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. We have Ultra 12 from InfoWars. A new product, finally here to support your energy production. It's made from a superior source of vitamin B12. Ultra 12 is sure to be a new favorite for any info warrior looking to reach their peak. And we also have some deep discounts, especially for our listeners here. This program, we got a special coming up for that. But we got 50% off all apparel. We got 50% off Ultimate Bone Broth. We have $50 off either the Alexapure air filter or the Alexapure gravity feed water filter. If you're a listener to this program, you can use the code WAKEUP to get 10% off of Wake Up America. It's 100% organic. We offer it in two different blends, Patriot Blend and Immune Support. Again, enter the code WAKEUP at checkout to get 10% off of Wake Up America coffee. We'll be right back.
Using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, folks. As I was saying, we have the government coming out saying that they are not going to take a look. They're not going to do anything to control warrantless surveillance of the American people, even though it violates the law, violates the Constitution. They don't care. National security trumps all of that. And, of course, you know, that's all about your safety, right? You can surrender your liberty for that promise of safety. And yet, as I will also see, they will use software that people have questioned whether or not this stuff is giving false positives. They'll use software to identify people who are engaged in child pornography and come after them. A lot of people said, wait a minute, I have a right to know how you came up with this. Why are you accusing me of this? You've got some software that says that, found me with this. Innocent people said, well, we want to know how we were targeted for this. I said, well, we're not going to tell you. Well, if you don't tell them, then you got to let them go. Okay, we'll let you go, but we're not going to give up our non-disclosure agreement with these tech companies. That is preeminent. And now real pedophiles are using that as a defense. They've realized that they can do that. So they will let real pedophiles go. All you have to do, if you're a pedophile and you get caught with this, you just say, well, this child protection system software, I have questions with it. And so, defense attorneys, as I point out in this Reason magazine, defense attorneys have long complained the government's secrecy claims may hamstring suspects seeking to prove that the software wrongly identified them. But since they were successful in that, because the government said, well, we're not going to tell you anything about the software, we'll just let this person go, then real pedophiles come in and said they can question the software used by investigators and they can avoid punishment, even if they are involved in child pornography. And the government doesn't care because national security trumps your liberty, it trumps your life, it trumps your child's safety, it trumps your health. Take a look at 5G, for example. There's an article on Zero Hedge. Is 5G worth the risks? And, of course, we've talked many times on this show about the health risks of 5G. How a health official in Brussels, Belgium, said, you're not going to put that in here. You've got other individuals saying, we are starting the biggest experiment on humanity we've ever done. We don't know what the health risks are going to be on this. We've had a lot of indications that it may be very bad. It is qualitatively and quantitatively much more dangerous than anything we've done with cell phone towers in the past. And there's ample evidence to show that cell phone towers have increased the risk of heart and brain tumors for males at the very least. And it did it on steroids with one study, only one study done on rats, showing that heart and brain tumors increased dramatically with exposure to 5G. But they're not going to do any on humans. The whole thing is going to be a human experiment. And of course, we don't really have to worry about that anyway because it was the male rats that had the heart and brain tumor increase. And we don't really care about males. They need to be killed off anyway. We got too many of them. You got telecom lobbyists, as they point out in this article on Zero Hedge. Telecom lobbyists assure us that everything is fine. They had a 1996 study. They took plastic mannequins. They exposed them to cell phone radiation, and then they measured how much the plastic mannequin head heated up based on exposure to this radiation. Well, the problem is, that's not a good model for a living organism, a plastic head. You gotta be dumb as a plastic head to believe that. And, of course, this is not just adults. This is also fetuses, children, plants, wildlife. And 5G radiation uses a cocktail of these types of radiation. And as I said, when they looked at this in Belgium, they said it was 90 times what they had as the maximum level of exposure. The official said, we're not going to sign off on it. But here in America, we will. Why? Because we want it to spy on you. We want it for national security. And we don't give a damn about your health.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Everything for national security. Everything is on the auction block. We don't care about anything other than national security, but of course Hillary Clinton can go free. She violated it to a greater extent and to a greater qualitative issue than anybody in American history. And yet, no charges against Hillary Clinton. No charges against the people like James Clapper who lied under oath to Congress, committed perjury. No charges about something that is one of the most egregious violations of the Constitution we've ever seen. And that is the warrantless surveillance of all Americans. We're not talking about a phony FISA warrant against the president. We're talking about warrantless surveillance against you and me. And I care more about that, quite frankly. Yes, it is important that these people have tried to overthrow our election. But understand, they've already overthrown our Constitution. The CIA is the government in this country. Geospatial intelligence that James Clapper hid out under, that's where he grew. Fastest growing area of our intelligence. They have overthrown our society. And the next step, the next tool in all of this is 5G. And they don't care what the health effects of 5G are. A lot of people are raising the alarm. As I said, the Brussels official said that's 90 times what we've said is a safe radiation level. I'm not going to sign off on that. Well, she'll be gone before too much longer. And they've had one study only that they've done on rats. They've shown a dramatic increase in brain and heart tumors, but only for males. So we don't even have to bother looking any further. We don't have to do any study on humans. And this article from Zero Hedge saying, is it really worth the health risks? I would say, is it really worth the risk to our privacy? You've got senators saying, well, the FTC needs to come after heavier penalties against Facebook. Well, you're senators. Why don't you write some laws to protect our fundamental rights, starting with our right to free speech? If that's a civil liberties issue, so is my free speech. You're concerned about privacy? Be concerned about free speech because they're rigging the election. We got Microsoft declaring that to go along with NewsGuard, they're going to have now Election Guard. And both of those things are ways to manipulate you. And of course, 5G is going to be a massive rollout of geospatial intelligence. They don't care what the health effects are to people. As I point out in this article, former FCC chairman Tom Wheeler has made it clear that the telecom-dominated FCC does not put health first. Well, let me make it even more clear than this article does. We had, in 1986, the vaccine industry, big pharmaceutical companies, were given legal immunity for any damage that they did to people, any adverse effects, they were given legal immunity. So you can go to an arbitration process. It's funded by a small, very teeny tiny tax on every vaccine. And you can get minor compensation if you are injured for life or a family member is killed from a vaccine, and that happens. We had $110 million handed out just the first quarter of this year for people who were damaged by vaccines. You won't hear that anywhere else. They're not going to talk about that on Fox News. They're not going to talk about that on CNN. Oh, vaccines? There's no problem with that at all. They're perfectly safe, right? No, they're not. $110 million handed out to a large number of people in the first quarter of 2019. I mean, this is, if it was in a court case, believe me, if this was a court case, we wouldn't be having this discussion about vaccines anymore. Nobody would be taking them. You would have stuff revealed in a court case. You would have each one of these cases would be getting probably $110 million. Just look at the two jury awards in the glyphosate cases. People getting cancer from Roundup sold by Monsanto. One jury gave out $86 million. Another one gave out $260 million. And all of these, and there were quite a few people in the first quarter of 2019, all of them together only got $110 million. The reason you have big jury awards like that is not just to compensate the people for their loss, but it's to stop dangerous products from continuing. So they were given immunity in 1986. 10 years later, Bill Clinton signed in, Ronald Reagan signed in the 1986 vaccine immunity. 10 years later, in 1996, they had the Telecom Act. And it gave legal immunity to the cell phone companies for any health damage that they would do to people. And saying that, actually it didn't give legal immunity to them. What it said was, no community can object to the placement of a cell phone tower based on health effects. You can object because you don't like the way that it looks. Oh, that's an eyesore. Oh, we can dress it up. We can make it look pretty. But we're not going to do anything if you're concerned about the health issues. And it isn't like they didn't know. As I pointed out, they'd had a 14-year study in Poland, massive study in Poland, on military personnel. I'm going from memory here, but I've talked about this before. So something like 140,000 people a year in Poland. 150,000 people a year for about 14 years. And they saw a 3 to 8-fold increase in certain types of cancers. And they're very specific about which ones went up by a factor of 3, which ones went up by a factor of 8. And yet, even though that was published in advance, they didn't care about that when they put together the Telecom Act of 1996. As they point out in this article, the U.S. government has known about these risks since at least 1971. Our own military, the Naval Medical Research and Development Command, published a bibliography containing 3,700 references reporting 100 biological and clinical effects attributed to microwave and radio frequency radiation. But see, they don't care. Why? Because national security. 5G is about national security. They think that national security is their ability to know everything that you're about to do. It's predictive. Activity-based intelligence, anticipatory intelligence, geospatial intelligence, human domain analytics to master the human domain. One thing that they're talking about at The Guardian, they said 5G signals could jam satellites that we use for weather forecasting. So who cares about how it harms humans? It might stop our weather forecasts. My wife actually believes weather forecasts. And I keep pointing out to her, you know what? They said it was supposed to rain today, and it didn't. You know, and then 3 days later, it does rain. See, they were right. And it's like, no, they weren't right. They got to get their timing right before they're right. But they're worried that it's going to affect their ability to predict major storms. Let me tell you the major storm they're worried about. It doesn't have anything to do with rain or wind or lightning. It has to do with the population. That's why they have geospatial intelligence. That's why they're putting in 5G. That's why they want to monitor your every activity. They want to predict what you're going to do. And they want to be able to enact the kind of controls that we've seen put in China. Facebook has already put them in. They've already got their social media ratings and credit ratings and so forth. It just remains for their partners in government, DARPA and others, to implement that to control you. This is warfare, folks. DARPA is about creating weapons of war against the American people as well. You need to understand that. As I pointed out here, the way 5G is being introduced, it could seriously compromise our ability to forecast major storms, said Tony McNally of the European Center for Medium-Range Weather Forecasts in Reading. He said, in the end, it could make the difference between life and death, and we're very concerned about this. They are not concerned about the difference between life and death that it will make to your health. They're not concerned about a massive control grid that will be imposed on you by the government that wants to follow your every move, manipulate your every move, and they're openly putting it in and bragging about it as Microsoft is partnering with DARPA to take us to full electronic elections. You know where the first electronic voting machines were? Venezuela. Yeah. Hugo Chavez and his cronies created Smartmatic, the first and one of the most corrupt. And they've been involved in rigging elections all over Central and South America and the Philippines and Mexico. And now we've brought them here to the United States. But they're going to be partnering now with DARPA and Microsoft, and they're going to guard the integrity of the elections just like Facebook is going to do with their war room. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have had a 7-pound, 3-ounce boy. And I saw that headline, I tweeted out about that. I said, wait a minute. It was supposed to be gender fluid. How hateful and bigoted of them to say that it is a boy. How do they know? They said they're still thinking about names. They're not still thinking about gender? They've determined that. How could they know? I tweeted out, I said, did they ask the royal astrologers? Did they get psychologists on them? Call some of Meghan's Hollywood agents. What sex is it? We don't know. We can't determine that. You know, maybe they got some. They got to get in all these people, get some LGBT representatives in there, and determine what sex this child is going to be. When I tweeted that out at Libertarian, somebody commented. I like their comment. Said, How could they possibly determine the baby's sex before the baby can talk and tell them what sex it is? And that's basically, as absurd as that sounds, that is the country that we now live in. Or, put it another way, before the baby could be talked into a sexual preference by the astrologers and the Hollywood agents and the psychologists and the LGBT representatives. Now, to give you an idea of where this is headed, take a look at Ontario, Canada's Ontario province. They have just passed legislation at the end of April that allows the government to seize children from families that refuse to accept the child's chosen gender identity or gender expression. Ontario requires child protection, foster, adoption service providers, and judges to take into account and to respect a child's race, ancestry, place of origin, color, ethnic origin, citizenship, family diversity, disability, creed, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. It would consider that, I would consider that, a form of abuse when a child identifies one way and a caregiver saying, no, you need to do this differently. You know, don't explain to them the whole concept of biological, binary, and objectively determined based on the genitals. See, that's what gender used to be determined by. Gender used to be determined by genitals. It was physical, biological. It was binary. There's two. No, they're telling us there's a dozen or more. And the person that I just read that said, I would consider that to be a form of abuse when the child identifies as something and you say, no, actually, biologically, you're that. That person has a title of Minister of Child and Family Services. See, when I grew up, the Minister of Child and Family Services, we used to call them Mom and Dad. They don't do that anymore. He says, if it's abuse and if it's within the definition, a child can be removed from that environment and placed into protection where the abuse stops. Erwin Elman, Ontario's provincial advocate, see, they're advocating for these people, against the parents, of course, said in a statement, I believe that this is in this new act and its principles, it represents a paradigm shift for the province with its commitment to the participation of children and youth in every decision that affects them. It is the creation of a child-centered system of service and a commitment to anti-racism and children's rights. Now, what in the world are they? Is this foreign to you? Let me tell you something. We have had the UN come up with this open borders agenda. Talked about that, how they introduced that. Early 2000s, they were selling to everybody saying, you know, your demographics, you're not having as many kids, and so we're going to have to bring in people from the third world into the first world, and they will pay for your Social Security. That's the basis for this, right? So they came up with the UN Open Borders Agenda. The UN gave us the agenda for smart cities, for the megalopolis concept. They pack everybody in these cities, and you don't own anything, and you live in a tiny micro apartment, so forth. They call it the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainability, of course. The UN gave us the war on drugs back in 1961 before Richard Nixon copied it verbatim with the four schedules and the drugs in the four schedules that the UN had already put in and called it his war on drugs. That was the UN's war on drugs first. And you know, the UN has had a convention on the rights of the child to come in and say, we are going to reject the parents. And the way they do that is to say, we're going to protect the rights of the child. The child is preeminent. The parents don't know. Parents are not to have any say. So in order to protect the child, we have to remove the parents out of the equation. So it just be the government and the child. And we will work with the child to determine what is in the child's best interest. Because, you know, there's all these parents out there who want to abuse these children. I was talking about this 10 years ago. I did a project, a competition. I was doing a lot of competitions before I came here to InfoWars. And I did one for the parental rights group. They were trying to get interest in politicians, of which there is absolutely, they're not going to put a constitutional amendment in to protect parental rights. They won't even protect the rights that are protected already, our free speech rights and so forth. But it was a good effort. And it was a good way to get people to understand where this is coming from and what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to look like. And I want to play for you an ad that I did to try to promote that parental rights amendment. I did this 10 years ago, and now we ignored the problem, and now we have this in Ontario and elsewhere. Here's that ad from 10 years ago.
Certain truths are self-evident. We're endowed by our Creator with rights. Certain relationships are also inalienable. Family was the first institution created by our Creator, and the family is the fundamental building block of every healthy society and every just government. But government and family are two different authorities or spheres with different roles and different responsibilities. Each authority is uniquely suited for a particular task and doesn't do the task of the other well. Families have traditionally been assumed to be acting out of love and the best interest of its members, and have been left alone unless proven to be abusive. But a new attitude has been cultivated by those that believe children should be raised by the village and not by their family. This approach to children and their families has been spelled out in the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. The UN Convention assumes government responsibility for all the needs of children and transfers responsibilities and rights from parents to government. Government is seen as capable of providing every want of the child and as responsible for instilling correct values, their values, into children. Parents are mentioned in the UN Convention only as problems for children to be protected from, or as mere advisors to their children, so long as their advice is not too strong or coercive. Children are encouraged to form their values independent of their parents. But nowhere is there a sense that they would ever need protection from a government. This troubling document has been ratified as a treaty throughout the world, with the U.S. as virtually the only lone holdout. The U.N. Convention on the Rights of the Child is about 16 pages. On the other hand, the Parental Rights Amendment is only three short paragraphs. It's a simple restatement of what has until recently been what every culture, every government except authoritarian governments, saw as the rights of parents. The Parental Rights Amendment would strengthen the Constitution to protect the family.
All right, that's 10 years ago. And what do we have now with this worldwide movement? I just read to you Ontario. I had a listener send me an email from New Zealand saying they have the Sexuality Education Guide for Principals, Boards of Trustees, and Teachers. Teachers will affirm a child's chosen identity and keep it a secret from parents. They'll have on-site gender clinics to help the children decide. And five-year-old kids will be made to question their own gender and be taught about multiple genders. We'll be right back.
Making sense common again. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joining me in the studio now is Will Johnson. Of course, you've seen Will on many of the broadcasts the last couple of days. He's here in Austin visiting us. His site is uniteamericafirst.com. And I wanted to talk to Will a little bit about Christian persecution going on around the world. You know, Will, I thought it was kind of interesting. We talked about this during the break, how the Guardian, it's amazing what they have a problem with and what they don't have a problem with. As I was saying earlier on the broadcast, when they look at 5G, they said they're not raising any alarms about health issues. They're saying, it might affect our weather broadcasting. What do you think if it's going to affect your weather broadcast, your weather predictions? Because of 5G, you think it might affect our health too? Oh, no, they're not concerned about that at all. They're not concerned about the civil liberty implications of being able to follow and watch everything that everybody does. But they have a story here, and I find it interesting, Will, because now we have the mainstream media is writing a lot of stories about China's persecution of Muslims. And it is real persecution. Let's make no mistake about that. And I don't justify that in any way, shape, or form. I'm just absolutely amazed at how silent these same media organizations have been over the years when the targets of this persecution were Christians or even Falun Gong. They had not much to say about that at all. But now, when the Muslims are getting a small amount of persecution compared to what's happening to the Christians, they're freaking out about this, Will.
Yeah, they are freaking out about it. It's amazing that you can have all these Christians across the world be attacked and killed, and the liberal media, these media outlets, they say nothing about it. as if it's not even happening. And then when it happens to a Muslim mosque, then it's all over the news. And then you have some people trying to say that it's Christians that's doing this to Muslims.
Yeah. You know? Well, just look at the difference in the way people reacted. I put out, somebody had a meme where they took the statement of Hillary Clinton after the mosque attack in New Zealand. And, you know, she said, this is hateful, and, you know, we needed to defend Muslims and so forth, and we needed to push back against Islamophobia. And so somebody had taken that and just crossed out all the references to Islam and put in Christian, even including, like, Christophobia.
Yeah.
And when I put that up here, oh, that's rich, Christophobia. It's like, yeah, it actually is a real thing. I mean, take a look at what they're doing to Chick-fil-A. We want to ban them out of airports because they donated money to the Salvation Army? I mean, is this like a terrorist group now to these people? They think that the Salvation Army is a terrorist group?
You know, mainly I think the reason why they're attacking Christianity, for one, because they know for a fact that, you know, Christ is real and he was the real thing.
Yeah.
And so they have to attack that. So Satan will send his minions to attack Christians. Second is that because majority of the people in America that are Christians, they happen to be white. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason. They want to attack anyone that's white and they're Christian because they believe that Christianity is in the way of them changing what a little boy is and all of these things that they want. Yes,
we are going to take a stand against.
Exactly. So they feel Christianity is in the way. So they have to get rid of Christianity. And if they're not able to get rid of Christianity, it's going to stop their agenda. Their agenda is to change reality, is to change the narrative of what reality is and to get us to believe it. And then when you speak out against what they are doing, that's when they demonize you. Mm-hmm. That's when they say that you're not kind and you're not tolerant. And yet they're the ones that's doing all this fascist things to all of us. And then they have the nerve to say that we're not tolerant.
Yeah.
Christians have been so tolerant. We're in this predicament right now because Christians didn't say anything in the past.
That's right.
They didn't say enough. Not enough good men and women said anything. And yet here we are.
Well, they're not looking for tolerance. You know, the LGBT people are not looking for tolerance. They're looking for you to celebrate and to worship what they do. That's what Buttigieg is all about. He's about redefining all of that. And it isn't enough that he can do whatever he wants to with his friend. You know, we're not going to lock him up. We're not going to cut his head off like the Muslims. But they make common cause with the Muslims who would execute them for what they're doing.
Yes.
And we're not talking about doing any of that. And yet, you know, it's not enough for them. You must celebrate them. You must say that he is better than Trump.
Yes. And that is the new modern family. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that they want to change what family is, you know, remove the father from the household.
Yes.
Tell and have the women in the household tell their sons that you can be Jane instead of Jim. And it's remarkable to be in a time where this is the norm in America. And the reason why they don't like Christians, because the Christians are starting really to fight back against this. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe their objective is to teach these little children that they are not the sex that they were born. So when they become young adults, 18, 20, and 21, they're going to say that it's always been like this. Mm-hmm. This has been the norm. Just like right now, I can walk outside and look up in the sky and see an airplane.
Yeah.
For me, that doesn't shock me because I was born into a world where airplanes are in the sky. Mm-hmm. Same thing with them changing what sex you are based on your feelings.
Mm-hmm. It's going to take some 20 to 40
years.
One or two generations to do that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the first things that you said was the fact that they attack Christians because they know Jesus is real. I just saw The Avengers, the second one, over the weekend. No spoilers here, folks, in case you haven't seen it. You don't have to beat me up. I saw, you know, some guy, people waiting in line to see it. He came out and he yelled what the ending was or something about the ending, and they physically attacked him and beat him for telling him the ending. So I'm not going to give you any spoilers. So don't throw anything at me here. But I thought it was amazing. I was offended by the gratuitous use of Jesus' name twice in the movie. You know, it's a swear word. It's like, why do you have to bring that in? Because I understand. I look at this, and I've looked at a lot of Christian reviews of films and so forth, and they don't really seem to understand that this whole superhero thing is selling an agenda of transhumanism, okay? And, I can modify myself and with technology, or maybe, you know, if I, you know, get exposed to some kind of spider venom, I can transform myself into something super, right? But if they're going to swear, why don't they use Odin's name? And I had friends from Japan back in North Carolina, and they said, yeah, you know, it's funny. I always thought it was odd that in Japan they would use Jesus' name as a swear word. And they're mostly Buddhists.
Huh. That's interesting.
There's something about the name.
Yes, it's something about the name. The name has power.
Yes.
And, you know, I know you've already touched a lot on it, but talking about giving names power, with all the censorship that's taking place, for example, now if you go on Facebook and you say the name Alex Jones,
mm-hmm.
they are literally giving the name Alex Jones power because it's power for them to react to something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, the name of Jesus.
And it's okay to explicitly condemn Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Just like it's okay to explicitly condemn Jesus.
That's exactly it.
Jesus was about in the Avengers, everybody would have freaked out about that.
Exactly. You know, one of the first Avengers where Captain America said that he only believes in one God. You know, that was in there. So I guess they didn't like that. So they had to come back with something else to change it up. But yeah, the name of Jesus has so much power that they have to go the extra measure to try to destroy it and try to make it the norm to say it in a curse word, to make it a curse word.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same thing. Satan knows that his time is short and he has to destroy everything that is good. Man and woman being together in marriage.
Oh, yeah.
He has to destroy it.
That's right.
You know, the family unit.
And it's a way to destroy humanity.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, to stop procreation. I mean, we look at the physical effects and it's been clearly documented that there's spermageddon. People want to say, well, you know, what is that? What is that? Is that radiation? Is it contaminants in our food and water? Or is it all of the above? But then there's another side to this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is destroying people's will to even, you know, marry other people, right?
Yes,
and have children. You know, it's evil to have children. Are a curse that we're told. You know, that's the whole pitch of Planned Parenthood. You know, you don't want to
the tissues
be
of virus
responsible. You know, for these kids, and they're going to cost you this amount of money over your life. You can't afford. You have that amount of money in the bank. Of course, nobody in America has got any money in the bank, including the Federal Reserve. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're talking to Will Johnson, UniteAmericaFirst.com. Welcome back. We're talking to Will Johnson, and again, his site is UniteAmericaFirst.com. We were talking about the difference in the way the mainstream media reacts to stories about Muslims and Christians, you know, when it's Christian churches that are being destroyed by the thousands in China. Pretty much silence from The Guardian, most in the left. But then when it comes out that they're coming after mosques, in one district, they said, we looked at this and they had 31 mosques and two major shrines in this one jurisdiction. They suffered significant structural damage between 2016 and 2018. Of those, 15 mosques and both shrines appear to have been completely or almost completely razed, knocked to the ground. And yet, it's been reported for years. This is a story that goes back to 2017. At that point, in just one province of China, more than 1,500 churches were completely razed. This has been going on for a very long time, but now The Guardian notices. Now they're concerned about it. And we're talking about the difference in the responses to the attacks on Christians in Sri Lanka versus the response, the outrage of the left. But we've got something even more amazing that we're going to tell you when we get back to this with Will Johnson. Real quickly, I want to tell you about some of the products that we have on sale at InfoWarsStore.com because that's how we fund this operation. You are our sponsors. And we try to provide to you directly products that are natural, that are safe, that are effective. You can do your own research, and for the time being right now, you can make your own decisions about your health. That noose is also closing. And it's going to close even faster if we don't maintain free speech, your speech, and the freedom of the press here at InfoWars. But we've got some specials to help you, to make it easier for you to support us. We have 25% off BrainForce Plus, and with that, you can get a free bottle of our all-natural sleep aid, Knockout. We also have 50% off all apparel. That's hats, T-shirts, and hoodies. Those are both new and classic designs. We got $50 off both the Alexa Pure Breeze and the Alexa Pure Pro. The Breeze is our air filter, great air filter. Pretty much everybody here at InfoWars has got at least one of these in their home. Very silent, very effective. As a matter of fact, it's so silent that it's got a little light, indicator light, that'll show up blue. It senses when there's contaminants, and it will change the speed of the fan. Still very silent, but it'll give you a little light indicator to show how much contaminants it senses in the air. So it'll go from blue to red if it's notice the maximum amount, and in between it'll change to purple. That is now $50 off the Alexa Pure Pro Gravity Feed Water Filter System. That is also $50 off. And finally, we have a special just for our listeners here. Enter the code WAKEUP to save 10% off of Wake Up America Coffee. That's 100% organic coffee. Again, we use that here at InfoWars. It's a vital ingredient of this show every morning, Wake Up America Coffee. And so you can save 10%. Just enter the code WAKEUP at checkout to save 10% off of Wake Up America Coffee. And we have it in two different blends. We have the Patriot blend and the Immune Support blend. Take a look at all the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, well, you know, we were talking about this difference in the way the media reacts. You know, there's a story that broke within this last week, and we haven't really talked about it too much because we've been talking so much about the focused attack from Facebook on Alex Jones and InfoWars. And, of course, this program has now been removed from Facebook. You won't find us anymore there. So if you want to look at archives, you can go to YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, Libertarian. Also, my Twitter, Libertarian. And you can find me at InfoWars, InfoWars.com/David-Knight-Show. There you'll find archives of the full show and different segments that are topically cut out. But, of course, you can also find us on a lot of radio and TV stations. So support those sponsors that support us on radio and TV. But, Will, when we were talking about this, you know, there's a story that's been around for a few days. Children at a Philadelphia Muslim society saying that they will chop off heads for Allah. Now, this is something that surfaced, these kids doing this, and it didn't make any reaction until you had an organization translate what they were saying. They were proud of this. This is the Muslim American Society Islamic Center in North Philadelphia. They uploaded a video of their kids back on April 17th. They called it Ummah Day. They loaded it to their Facebook page. It took a while, but an organization, the Middle East Media Research Institute, found this. They translated it from Arabic into English. And then people said, they said, what? These kids are being, at a very young age, are saying what? Well, here's what they were saying. They were saying, we will defend the land of divine guidance with our bodies. We will sacrifice our souls without hesitation. We will chop off their heads. We will liberate the sorrowful and exalted Al-Aqsa Mosque. They're talking about Jerusalem. We will lead the army of Allah, fulfilling his promise, and we will subject them to eternal torture. They went on to say, the land of the Prophet Muhammad's night journey is calling us. Our Palestine must return to us. They were wearing Palestinian scarves, reading poetry about killing for Allah. Sounds like a rally for Rashida Tlaib, doesn't it, Will?
It sure does. This is remarkable. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that after that went up, then and people were outraged by it. Then there was a pushback outrage coming from the American Defamation League. And they said, another group called the Muslim American Society that was founded by the Muslim Brotherhood, they insisted that the video was not properly vetted. And they said it was an unintended oversight. It was a mistake. These people were proud of it until it was translated into English. Absolutely proud of it. And the other thing that Daily Caller points out is that, well, while CNN wrote more than 20 articles coming after the Covington Catholic students, they have completely ignored this video that's now been around for about 3 weeks.
Hmm.
They completely ignored that. They completely avoided talking about this, you know, teaching children at a very young age to become terrorists for Allah.
You know, I mean, even after when New Zealand took place, the liberal media, we had politicians, all of them came out with talking about all of the how terrible this is and all of the hatred towards Muslims. But then when Sri Lanka took place, they were completely silent. The politicians were silent on the AOC. I forget how many tweets she put out for the New Zealand episode. But then when it happened in Sri Lanka, she went dark.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to see here, nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is again, it was geared towards Christians. For this to take place in the United States of America, is straight up, not only do we have an invasion on our border, but we have an invasion on our way of life in this country.
Yeah.
And that's the part that a lot of people don't recognize, because they feel that, oh, it's kind of harmless. It's just children. You know, if they're saying it in Arabic or they're saying it in a different language, it's okay.
I was amazed when Rashida Tlaib, you know, she toned it down when she won the general election. But when she won the primary, that really was winning the general election, because it was a heavily Democratic primary.
Right.
When she won the primary, it's skewed towards the Democrats. When she won that primary, and we've played the video here many times, you know, she was dancing wrapped in a Palestinian flag, and all the people around her, you know, they were going, you know, that.
Yes.
And then she's talking about her relatives, you know, just called her from Palestine and everything. And it's like, who is she representing in Congress? Palestine? Is she the Palestinian Congress person now?
It would appear to be so.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the way I was looking at it when all that took place. She doesn't care. You know, it's an invasion. They want to change the laws in America, and they really want to get to the Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, that's what they want. They say that they don't, you know, they have freedoms, because they say, well, look at us. We're Congress women. We have freedoms. You can do this in their country, and you could even say half the things that they're saying in their country, but yet they want to bring their policies and their rule of law to the United States of America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got now, because we're into Ramadan, you have some people saying, you know, watch out. We've entered Ramadan. This is the time of year that is sacred to their religion. And as part of that, they're going to be looking for infidels to kill. And yet at the same time, we have a school district in Lake Taps, Washington State. They have been given guidelines by the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE. And they've been told that they need to bless Muslim students in Arabic because of Ramadan. And as one organization there is pushing back, and they said, can you imagine a school district ordering teachers to welcome Catholic students during Easter with "He's risen, hallelujah," you know, or are saying, you know, "an Our Father" as they come in. But this is what they're doing with the Muslim students.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there it is again. Remove Christianity.
Yeah.
They've already
double standard.
Yeah. They removed Christianity from schools, and now they're bringing in, like in the California, they teach the
purge
kids
and the push, which is exactly what they're doing with InfoWars with politics as well. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Will Johnson. Stay with us.
Plant the seed in our homeland, boys. Let it grow where all can see. Feed it with our devotion, boys. Call it the Liberty Tree. It's a tall
Liberty
tree.
It's your move. You're listening to the David Knight Show.
We are the sons of liberty.
Welcome back. We're talking to Will Johnson. And we've been talking about the double standard that exists. Much of this, understand, is self-imposed or imposed by our leaders who are so worried about political correctness. They're far more worried about that than they are anything else. You know, Will, we look at what's going on in Sri Lanka. We have the Sri Lankan government has now expelled 200 radical Islamic clerics after this jihad attack on Easter, you know, where they killed the Easter worshippers, quote unquote, not Christians. I can't say that. And even as we've got Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton saying, well, they were Easter worshippers, and so that was the standard line from the Democrats. Cannot call them Christians, cannot say that you had radical Islamic terror. And, of course, that was something that McMaster told everybody. You're not going to talk about radical Islam. You're not going to talk about Muslim jihadists. You're not going to use those words. And they're not using those in the Democrat Party either. But the people, the government in Sri Lanka is not burdened with this kind of political correctness. They're not burdened with self-loathing that many of these liberals and American Christians have, or the Catholic Christians. You've got the bishop there in Sri Lanka saying they're atheists. They're not Muslims. You know, these are godless terrorists. Can't say that's part of their religion. And yet, Sri Lanka, they understand what this is. They're Muslim. They're not. The Muslims are a minority there, just like the Christians are. The majority there are Buddhist, and they have expelled 200 Islamic clerics. They know what's behind all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? Good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't sit idly by while you have a group of people that, you know, where it's already determined who they are doing something, and then you want to ignore it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're atheists. They're not actually Islamic terrorists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had conversations with people who believe in the Islamic faith, but they're not happy about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least that's what they're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have groups that's coming out and saying that, you know, don't pay attention to Islam, it's not Islam, but it is Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, until you address the elephant in the room, then you're going to continue to have the problem.
Yeah. Actually, I read a story yesterday. I think he was in Australia, but it was an imam in Australia, I think. But he was calling out Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. And says, remember that time that they criticized Muslim extremists and terrorists? No, neither do I. Okay. And so, you know, there are some who will call that out, but certainly not our elected representatives in Congress right now. Even as there are warnings in the UK, they have a counter-terrorism expert with Global Risk International. His name is David Otto. He said, be careful, because now we're in Ramadan. That's their holy period, and they're going to be looking for places of worship to attack. The response from this Catholic bishop, who can't name the threat, said, we're just going to close all Catholic churches until further notice. So just, again, pulling back and surrendering.
So there, you know, so what happens is that you're a Christian, you're under attack, but we're going to stop you from expressing your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You can't show that you believe in God.
That's right.
I mean, I can't imagine how it's going to be for that person who's telling, you know, we're not going to have any service, or we're not going to show that we worship God until further notice. I mean, what is that going to be like for him when he stands before God?
Yeah.
You know, I'll be more fearful of that than someone trying to come in and harm me.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've had just before this happened, we had the Pope going down to Morocco. Almost totally Muslim. And the few Christians that were down there, he said to them, don't talk about your faith. And then to the Muslims, he said, we're all part of the same religion.
Yeah.
Maybe they are.
And then he prayed to Mecca when he was there. Yeah. I saw that. He prayed. Yeah. He actually prayed to Mecca, and he was bowing down to the imams and basically saying that you have more authority over me, which I don't give the Pope personally any authority because of the horrific things that he's been involved with and that he's even allowed, or the Pope before him.
That he's tolerated.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, yeah, I think Leo Zingami got it right. He says he's trying to establish himself as the head of Chrislam.
Chrislam.
I think that's a great way to look at it. We got to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with Will Johnson. Stay with us.
Truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Will Johnson again from UniteAmericaFirst.com. He's here in Austin this week. And he's probably seen him on a lot of the InfoWars show. So he's here live with us in the studio. Will, you know, we were talking in the last hour, we were talking about the attack on the family, the attack on humanity. And, of course, in the headlines today is the attack on humanity coming from the United Nations. You know, humans are going to cause the extinction of nearly a million species. And so we've got to limit the humans. This is going back to the environmentalism that is the basis for which they push the UN Agenda 21. Now the specific, they've said, nah, it's not going to be in the 21st century. We've got an exact date. 2030, we're going to roll this out. And you got to give up your home, you got to give up your car, you got to give up everything, surrender it to this agenda, because we've got to save the earth. And this, you know, we were talking about the clash of religions, Islam and Christianity, but this, quite frankly, is a kind of pagan religion, the Gaia religion, where they see humans as parasites
mm-hmm.
on the planet Earth. And they even go back and reference the name of a, I think it's a Greek goddess, Gaia. You know, they talk about Mother Earth and Gaia and how we're going to kill it, so we got to kill the humans. And they're going back to the overpopulation fears of Paul Ehrlich, who was there the first Earth Day back in 1970. They're dredging all that back up. And that is just an intermediate cause to get this generation. We're talking about how things change very rapidly with a generation. Mm-hmm. They have thoroughly indoctrinated the kids who've gone through government schools to absolutely believe that we are headed towards global warming, that it's because of overpopulation, it's because of all the humans, and yet, you know, we were told we had to depopulate because we're going to global cooling in the first Earth Day, Earth Day back in 1970.
You know, I'm not a climate change denier because we have summer, winter, spring, fall. Yeah, exactly. I don't deny that the climate change.
Sun has something to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, with this, the whole thing with the climate change, the Earth is going to, you know, end in 2030 if we don't do something about it. You know, it's all with the 2030 agenda that they're trying to push on humanity and to try to control us again. And with the whole carbon tax, it's just, I like to look at it like this, that the carbon tax is the last thing that they're going to tax us on. Because, you know, they tax us on water, they tax us on food and on land. So now they want to tax us on the air that we breathe.
And what you breathe out.
Because what you breathe out, which the plants need.
Supposedly a poison,
Exactly. So plants need it. So it's all an agenda to try to convince the masses that if we don't do these extra measures or just pay in money, that you're going to lose, you know, your life anyway. So the whole, like, removing the population, I remember years ago when I used to watch Jacques Cousteau. And he made a comment talking about, and you made me think about it, where he made the comment talking about that human beings on the planet, they are the virus.
Yes.
And you have to remove this virus or the planet will go away. And, you know, I thought that was profound. This was years ago when I was a lot younger. And
My son, who's producing the show, when he was a little boy, we took him to the UK and his brother, and we let him play in the Children's Museum. And in the play area, they had this loop that was running constantly, talking about that very thing, how humans are the virus and must be wiped out. So they want to wipe, just like Thanos in the Avengers, okay? They want to wipe out, but unlike Thanos, who was talking in the first Avengers movie about getting rid of 50% of the people, they want to get rid of over 90% of the people, and then they want to enact, actually it's going to be more than that, they're not even being honest with us about that agenda, but the few people that are left, they're going to enact very strict controls on them. So we got population control in a number of ways. Depopulation, and then strict control of the remaining people.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. And I think that's why you have the left pushing, you know, to have a war with Russia. I truly believe that's what they want to do, because they keep defaming Russia, saying that Russia has something to do with our election. So we have to attack them because they're attacking us on the cyber level. You know, in order to stop them attacking us on a cyber level, they have to go physically.
Yep.
All this is tied in together. Removing people off the planet, controlling people on the planet, what they think, how they feel, their health care. They want to control all of it. It's
forcing
all of
vaccines.
Forcing vaccines.
You don't have any informed consent about, if you want to take something that's a natural ingredient, like cannabis, you know,
medical marijuana,
or even CBD, which doesn't even have any psychological component to it. It doesn't even get you high, okay? No, you're not going to be allowed to take that, but you will take these vaccines, I tell you.
Exactly. Something that's...
People, they got to take the shots.
Shut up. Yeah. Something that's benefit the body. They want to, you know, talk that down. You can't have that. You shouldn't consume that. But let's give you this shot, and then let's see what happens. You know, and talking about vaccines, just briefly, they talk about how all of the vaccines, everyone needs the vaccines, and how the measles is just popping up now. But then if people talk about, well, how did this outbreak start? Who brought it to America? You know, they don't want to get to the root of it. You know, it's amazing because they do the same thing with the whole Russia collusion. They don't want to get to the root of it. You know, so they just have their agenda and how they want to manipulate the masses and get all of us to believe that they have our best interests at heart.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, when we look at it, I think we need to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of, because we want to say, look, there are health risks with open borders, and there are. And there are very serious diseases like tuberculosis, like hepatitis, like Ebola, that we need to be concerned about. But even by the CDC's inflated numbers, at best, you're going to have a 1% fatality rate with measles, not with these other diseases, okay? Not with Ebola. You're going to have 65 to 75% of the people die bleeding out of every orifice. But, you know, we're not going to be worried about that. When that came to America, when it was brought to America by the CDC, you had the liberal mayor up in Dallas do everything but go over and lick the walls of the apartment where the people that they found with Ebola. Hey, it's no problem. No. But they panic over measles, which is something my generation, the parents gave to everybody, right? So, you know, we've got, as we're looking at this, and as President Trump was saying, they got to take the shots, got to take the shots. It's like, no, we don't, President. Trump, read the Constitution. And you've got, and take a look at the ship that you've got that's been quarantined since December. With mumps, you got 100% of the people there that have been vaccinated, some of them two times, and they've quarantined that ship at sea since December. What's going on with that? What it tells us is that their vaccines are not effective, and if the vaccines are not effective and don't convey lasting immunity, then you have a situation where you don't have anything approaching herd immunity, and you don't have, you know, you can't protect people against that because that, you know, we now have a large percentage of the adult population, the immunity has elapsed.
Exactly. You know, I saw a clip where on a Communist News Network, CNN, they were showing the Brady Bunch and how the Brady Bunch was talking about the measles and how
I've played that
they
same
gave
clip
him,
here.
Yeah, how they gave them to him. But what shocked me was is how the Communist News Network was talking about how it's bad and how they're putting out a false information about how people would give each other the mumps to build up the immune system, which was absolutely true then. See, they're counting on people not knowing the truth. They're counting on people not even researching it. They're counting on people not to remember that's how we fought the measles during that time. So they want people to believe this. You have to go get this vaccine that we want you to have. And it, like you just mentioned, half the time, probably more than half the time, the vaccines don't even work. It's like getting a flu shot. You're just putting these chemicals, these foreign objects into your body.
And what they're lying to you about.
Yes, and what's in them.
Yeah, what they're lying to you about is telling you, well, they're perfectly safe. No, they're not. Any medication, any surgical procedure has got a certain amount of risk.
Yes.
We don't live in a binary world where something is completely no risk or 100% risk.
Exactly.
That's what they're selling you. Meanwhile, Merck, which is the sole manufacturer and provider of MMR vaccines via the CDC. They're the retailer. But Merck is seeing record profits because now they've got everybody panicked. But it's far more worrisome than what's just going on with that one vaccine, because what they're doing is establishing a precedent that they can force you they can quarantine people when they're not even sick.
Yes.
You know, they're quarantining and attacking people, and they can force you to take medicines that carry a risk.
Yeah, and it is about control. It's 100% about the control. Yeah. And if they can't control you, then you're the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why InfoWars, you guys here are a major problem to what's happening across the land and even the world, because people are paying attention.
That's why they want to shut us down. That's why they're shutting us down. And then they shut down the vaccine discussions as well. Thank you for joining us. Will Johnson, again, you can find him at UniteAmericaFirst.com.
Thank you for having me.
You know, it's amazing to me to see that CNN finally agrees with President Trump on something. CNN is falsely claiming that Venezuela's Guaido was elected president in January. Yeah, when it comes to pushing foreign wars, when it comes to trying to push us into a Venezuelan war, CNN is right there with the president, right there with Fox News. They can all agree with that, just like they can all agree about pushing vaccines on us. Right, you're going to find that CNN and Fox are both selling this vaccine mandates, pushing the panic about measles and so forth, and they're pushing the panic about Venezuela. Venezuela is not a threat to us. The threat is at our border. And, of course, we're not even talking about protecting our border anymore, not even on the radar. President Trump has completely surrendered that. Now the question is, are we going to protect the border of Israel? Are we going to invade the border of Iran? Are we going to invade the border of Venezuela? But we're not going to protect the border of America. That's one thing they all agree with. The Democrats agree. Republicans agree. CNN, Fox, President Trump now all agree on those issues. The only question is if we're going to go into Venezuela or into Iran, or we're going to start another war somewhere. But we are not going to protect our border here. That's been determined. So they can claim that Guaido was elected president back in January. It's absolutely amazing to me to see how everything is consolidating. There are some things that the left and the right and Democrats and even CNN and President Trump can agree on, and that is war and not protecting our border. We're going to be talking in the next segment to a lawyer, I think from Connecticut, I believe. This is a case that is out of Connecticut, and it's kind of related to what we see happening with medical kidnapping. You know, spoke last week to Dana Gottesfeld. Her husband, Marty, tried to help a young girl who was medically kidnapped in the hospital. And this happens from time to time, people of all ages, but especially children. In that particular case, Justina Peltier, the parents, she had a physical condition. She was being treated at Tufts, but she went to Children's Hospital in Boston. It's an adjunct of Harvard University. And they said, no, it's not a physical problem. It's a psychological problem. It just happens that the person who had diagnosed her with a psychological problem was working on a psychological research grant. And the research grant was about the very condition that she diagnosed Justina with. They kidnapped her. They terminated the parents' parental rights. The parents said, no. She's been treated for quite some time, diagnosed with by Tufts and others, and she's been improving with this. They nearly killed her by withholding the medicine for her physical issue, but they medically kidnapped her. Well, we've got situations now where elders, older people, senior citizens, are being medically kidnapped. And they basically, in this particular case she's going to tell you about, they got the man was drugged. He signed over, even though he was a lawyer, even though he had a lot of paperwork set up to protect his estate, multi-million-dollar estate. They basically had him sign it over to them, and they looted him seven ways to Sunday. So she's going to talk about that coming up. That is a new scheme, that new type of medical kidnapping that you're going to see probably happening a lot if we don't protect against it, because we now got the aging baby boomers. Folks, let me tell you about some of the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new product, Ultra 12. It is an update to our Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formula. It is going to help your energy production. And again, that is Ultra 12. It's a new product we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We also have a couple of specials where you can get the product for 25% off and another product for free. We have teamed our Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine with our Survival Shield X3 Nascent Iodine. You can buy the X2 at 25% off and get a free bottle of the Survival Shield X3 Nascent Iodine. Also, we have Brain Force Plus at 25% off. And with that, you can get a bottle of Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid. You can get that for free. We also have the Ultimate Bone Broth, 50% off. 50% off all apparel. That's hats, t-shirts, hoodies, new and classic designs. We have $50 off both the Alexa Pure Air Filter and the Alexa Pure Gravity Feed Water Filter. That's the Alexa Pure Breeze and the Alexa Pure Pro. Both of those are $50 off. And finally, we have a special just for the listeners of this program. You can save 10% off of our Wake Up America coffee. You can just enter the code Wake Up and save 10% off either the Patriot Blend or the Immune Support Blend. It's all 100% organic. That's Wake Up America coffee. Save 10%. Use the code WAKEUP at checkout to save 10% off of Wake Up America. You find all that stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what funds this program. You know, I've had a clip here for a few days. I tried to get to it yesterday. We were running short on time as I talked about the live 4D ultrasound that was done in Times Square by the Focus on the Family broadcast. They had a lot of people talking about the issues of late-term abortions, because you had the governor there and others celebrating the fact that they could murder children up to birth, late-term abortions, and even afterwards. And, of course, this is something that goes back. It was revealed in the Gosnell trial. People were amazed to see that what we've now all heard the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, talk about, yeah, we just set the kid over there and let him die peacefully. They call that comfort care. And they were told that that was the preferred method, that Gosnell had actually sped that up. He snapped the baby's neck as he was saying, you know, hey, that baby's big enough that it could walk to the, you know, to a taxi or something. They snaps the baby's neck. They got him for murder. But it's not murder if you set the baby over on the side and let it starve to death. That's what Ralph Northam was saying. And that is the standard of care in many states right now. People don't realize that. But they had a rally there, live from New York, they said, as they did a live 4D baby ultrasound. We've had in a debate in Alabama an amazing statement from John Rogers, a Democrat, talking about, and this is what I want you to hear this. He said, some kids are unwanted. So you either kill them now or you kill them later. Let's run that clip, video clip number one.
All I'm saying to you, it ought to be a woman's choice. I'm not about to be as a male tell a woman what to do with her body. She has a right to make that decision herself. To rape the incest. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved. Then you send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now, I'll kill them later. But the bottom line is that I think we should be making this decision.
Well, you just made a decision. You just said kill them now or kill them later. Sometimes the most effective way to push back against this practice, this is just let the Democrats speak for themselves. Let the Ralph Northams and the Governor Cuomo's and the Mayor de Blasio's and this particular representative from Alabama. Just let them say what this is really about. Yeah, kill them now or kill them later. All right, we're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, I talked last week about the horrific prison conditions that Marty Gottesfeld is in. And of course, he's in prison because he tried to help a young girl who was medically kidnapped in Boston Children's Hospital, an adjunct of Harvard. And now we're going to talk to a lawyer who is blowing the whistle on a tactic to medically kidnap elderly people, senior citizens, who have large estates. And the Boston website that covered this particular case, I think the headline says it all. Guardians take total control. They isolate the man, and the man that they isolated, this is a lawyer who had a very large estate, about $6 million. And he also had a lot of legal documents that were drawn up to protect himself. It doesn't matter. Because what they did was they isolated him, they medicated him, and then they liquidated his assets. Again, this is in the same neck of the woods as you know what was going on with Marty Gottesfeld. I don't know, but I'm not sure that I'm going to go to Boston. I don't want to get sick up there. They're kidnapping people medically left and right at all ages. But joining us now is Lisa Bellinger. You can find her. She is a lawyer. You can find her website is bellingerlawoffice.com. Thank you for joining us, Lisa.
Thank you, David.
Tell us a little bit about this. This is something that is relatively new. We've talked about this happening a lot, usually with younger children. They can come in and they can terminate parental rights. And then they can basically tack, you know, grab the insurance company, and they can keep this kid in the hospital, treating them without the parents not wanting to do this. But this is something completely different. This is targeting elderly people who have large estates. Tell us about the case of Marvin Siegel, for example.
Okay. Well, I'd like to start off by that it's not just large estates. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with basically, it's rich, it's poor, it's in between. The bread and butter of this system is basically Medicare and Medicaid fraud. It's a very intricate
So they can make a lot of money if they take a lot of people who maybe don't have assets. But they can tap into Medicare, Medicaid, and so forth, and multiply that out. And those people aren't going to push back like the family of Marvin Siegel when there was a lot of money that was involved, a lot of his estate. They pushed back and they went public with this. But most of the other people are going to be isolated. They're going to be poor, and this is an attempt to tap into Medicaid and Medicare as opposed to tapping into private insurance, right?
Sure, and the Elder Protective Services, it's very parallel to what happens to Children Protective Services. Mm. So they receive funding. They get funding for doing investigations.
Wow.
So basically what happens is we're talking about the real crux of the problem. The attorneys, the judges, doctors are hand in hand with this. You've got the social workers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Elder services is probably the most common way that families get caught into this web. It's almost like a Venus flytrap.
Yeah. I would imagine, too, that, you know, because you've got a lot of elderly people that maybe are distant from their families or, you know, don't have a family or whatever, they're even more susceptible to this than children because they don't have anybody that's going to fight this system. You know, the parents might fight it. If you have CPS kidnapping the kids, the parents will, it's a difficult burden, but they will fight it. But they can get somebody who is isolated and living by themselves, and it's very easy for them then to tap into, to kidnap them and tap into the welfare state, right?
Oh, very much so. But I believe it seems to be Well, let's put it this way. My father was an attorney. He had a durable power of attorney. I am also an attorney. He had me be the durable power of attorney for him, with my eldest sister being the successor, if anything should happen that would require that. And it just didn't matter, the fact that my father was an attorney, that I was an attorney. And basically, it's a routine process where these written instruments are disregarded. It's as it's almost as if they don't even exist.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, the case of your father, Marvin Siegel, I think that's why that is so important because, again, as you pointed out, he was a lawyer. You're a lawyer. He's got all these documents set up to protect himself, and they were able to get around even that. Tell us how this story unfolded. Tell the story of your father to the audience.
Well, my dad, in 2003, made, like other people here, in Massachusetts, there's a lot of advertising that you'll hear from estate planning attorneys on talk radio and so forth. And so it's very well known that you need to get your estate planning directives to try and keep you from having to deal with probate court, guardianships, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So as an attorney, my father knew that he needed to have his estate taken care of in terms of trying to make it ironclad that there wouldn't be a problem. And he sought the assistance of very prominent attorneys in Boston, and everything was, all the I's were dotted, all the D's were, the T's were crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no problem with his estate planning. What happened in our situation is that my father had been involved with Bank of New York Mellon, where he had his trust all set up with them for 20 years. The situation arose that my father had been taken to the hospital. And the situation was that they decided that he needed to be put into a facility without anybody knowing it. Now, I called
And it was a psychiatric facility, right?
It was a psychiatric facility that I didn't even, wasn't even aware of. When my father was taken to the hospital, in fact, it was Beverly Hospital, they knew that I was his durable power of attorney. They had led me to believe that he was going to be evaluated for Alzheimer's because my father had not been diagnosed at that time. And they had led me to believe that they were just going to evaluate him. They did not in any way, shape, or form say to me that they were pink-slipping him, so to speak. It's a three-day involuntary commitment. They did not tell me that that's the manner in which they were keeping him and transporting him to the psychiatric facility. They didn't tell me it was a psychiatric facility. They didn't tell me they were going to use any antipsychotic drugs in any manner. When they had him placed into this facility, the very next day, the social worker for that psychiatric facility called Whittier Pavilion called me up to let me know that the attorney stated that my durable power of attorney was not valid.
Wow, wow, wow. And they had, we're going to pick up the story and we're going to talk about how they were able to isolate him, medicate him, and then liquidate his estate, even though he's a lawyer, even though you're a lawyer, even though you had documents that were drawn up. It's absolutely amazing what is going on with medical kidnapping. And, of course, it all begins when they say, we can force you to take any medication we want. Welcome back. We're talking to Lisa Ballinger. She is a lawyer herself. Her father was a lawyer. And as we were talking about elder kidnapping, as Lisa was saying, it's an established fact that it's very lucrative for hospitals and long-term care services to kidnap elders and to get access to Medicare, Medicaid. It's very lucrative for them. So they're doing this to poor people. But you would think that if you have someone who is a retired attorney who has, as they point out in the Boston Broadside, they thought he had everything all set. He had a power of attorney, had medical proxies. He had all the other regular and complex paperwork to ensure that his daughters would protect his future. That all changed when he was involuntarily transported by Elder Services to Beverly Hospital approximately 7 years ago. They subsequently transport him to a psychiatric unit. I want to pick up on this story. We're talking to his daughter, Lisa Ballinger, who said they killed him. And we'll find out what happened next after they picked him up. They transferred him to the psychiatric service. And again, he had all his legal paperwork there. What happened next, Lisa?
Well, after he was put into the Whittier Pavilion, the psychiatric facility, that morning I received a call from the social worker who told me that the attorney for Whittier Pavilion stated that the durable power of attorney was not valid. Therefore, they were not going to allow me to see him.
Wow.
Yes. Well,
that was his opinion. And then basically that sets off a legal fight, and they really started padding the legal fees, didn't they?
Well, you see, he had an underlying agenda. At the time, I did not realize it. It wasn't until a few years later that I began through research to understand how deeply embedded this is. You see, the attorney for the psychiatric facility actually had been long embedded in the probate court system. He is probably continuing to do this as a court-appointed guardian, conservator, guardian ad litem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why your father, as a lawyer, had set up all these different structures, because it's pretty well known that dishonest attorneys in the probate system can liquidate an estate pretty easily. But in this particular case, they were able to do that before your father died by getting him into a hospital, right?
Well, what happened was, is that these attorneys, by using the psychiatric facilities, that is the modus operandi in which they are able to foist these elders into the system. That is the whole.
And you said he'd never been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or anything, but he goes in there. You believe that they put him on, forced him onto drugs, and then had him. Perhaps did they have him sign over things at that point? How did that work?
Yes, what happened was, as soon as I was informed that they were preventing me from seeing my father, I instantaneously sought out legal assistance. And through doing so, through my durable power of attorney, I was supposed to be able to get a retainer to be able to seek this help. I called up the Brian Nagel, who was the financial manager, who for an extraordinary long period of time, he knew me. My durable power of attorney had been used many times with him, so it wasn't as if this was a surprise. What happened was, is I, you know, naively had explained to Mr. Nagel what had happened and that I needed to obtain funds from my father's account to be placed into his account so that I could pay the attorney. Well, he had pretended to say to me that, oh, that's not a problem. In the meanwhile, that same time that I called him that afternoon, he called an attorney that he worked with very closely. In fact, they're co-founders of the Disassociation for Family Business Magazine. And that attorney went with his associate, that was Edward Tarlow of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. On a Saturday, they went into the psychiatric facility, a lockdown unit, with papers prepared already, while my father documented that he was being given antipsychotics, and they had him sign paperwork.
Let's back up a little bit here. You said that they kept you from seeing him. What was the basis for that? Because we've seen the same type of tactic with medical kidnapping of young children, saying, well, we got to keep the parents away because the parents are a threat to him. What was the justification? How could they keep you from seeing your father?
Well, they had no justification.
Yeah, what'd they say, though?
Just because they can, correct? They purportedly used the... They purportedly used the invalid durable power of attorney.
So they said because he's got an invalid durable power of attorney that you can't even see your father in the hospital?
Right. However, that didn't, you know, the fact after I proceeded with getting into the court, then, you know, being able to see him changed. However, little did I know, through legal counsel, I was told that my only avenue was to go through the probate and family court to validate the durable power of attorney. Now, even though I've been attorney for 20 years and so forth, I didn't practice this type of law at the time. So I was not familiar with this particular area of the law. I was relying on counsel. And it seemed, you know, I had no reason to think otherwise. So we were foisted into my having to go into the probate court, supposedly to validate indisputable document that was ironclad. But the mere fact, once I got in there, that was it. That was the point of no return.
Wow. Wow. So they use it. They just declare, well, you don't have a valid power of attorney. You're going to, and you've got to adjudicate it in our court. And then they start piling up massive legal fees. It says here in this article, nearly $250,000 a year in legal charges alone, putting your father into probate before he's died to essentially liquidate the estate. They said that they were charging anywhere from $275 to $600 an hour to talk to each other, the lawyers. In one particular case, they're charging $275 per hour for photocopying. Now, I would like to get that job. Where can I get a job for $275 an hour for photocopying?
And the amazing thing is, actually, and as I've taken many complaints out, that is against the code of ethics of the Mass Border Bar Overseers.
So you're a lawyer, and you take these people on, but then they came back after you to in recrimination, didn't they? They tried to come after your law degree.
Oh, no, they are. Well,
license.
2013 through 2015, I filed numerous complaints showing with substantiating documentation that these attorneys were committing criminal offenses. Now, it just so happens that the attorney that my father hired to protect him from being put under a court-appointed guardianship happened to, I guess, within 24 hours, she decided to go along with these predators. So she's very powerfully connected, and with she had many positions with the Border Bar Overseers, and you can see why the Border Bar Overseers consistently told me that they would not investigate. However, more than over 5 years later, when Lonnie Brennan of the Boston Broadside had the courage to actually print and expose this, that is when Attorney Marsha Kazarogian decided to file a complaint with the board against me.
Wow, so we've only got about 30 seconds. Where are you right now? This amazing story.
Well,
they
are prosecuting me, and that's it.
Wow. They're coming after it. Amazing. So amazing. Thanks for joining us. I'm so sorry about what you're going through, but that is a cautionary tale for all of us. We're going to see more of this type of thing happen as we have an out-of-control legal system and an aging population. It's not just the children that they're medically kidnapping.